You're listening to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, your daily podcast on the Denver Nuggets. Now, here is your host from DenverStiffs.com, Adam Mades.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Locked On Nuggets podcast, part of the Locked On NBA Network. I'm your host, Adam Mades from DenverStiffs.com, the largest Denver Nuggets blog and community on the web. I'm joined today in Las Vegas, sunny and hot and sweaty Las Vegas. And dry and miserable Las Vegas.
I don't think you covered all the adjectives.
No? Is
I feel,
there more?
I don't know, but I feel terrible.
Yeah. Hungover Las Vegas, probably more accurately. The voice you're hearing is Brendan Vogt, also of DenverStiffs.com. Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. Thanks for finally having me on your podcast. This
Have
is
you
huge
never
for
been
me.
On the show?
No, I've been on three times, but I'm going to pretend every time that you haven't had me on. So,
So we're out here in Las Vegas Summer League, staying at, I guess we can call this the SB Nation house, even though it's kind of a hodgepodge of a bunch of different people.
Party mansion, bro.
The party mansion. Las Vegas Summer League is a big party. It's always a good time. Partially because of the basketball, but also for other reasons, either just like the circus of Summer League. This is now my fourth Summer League, and I want to know. Yeah, I can definitely hear that. He's putting on the microphone cover, and it sounds like it's a hurricane. But no, your first impressions of Summer League, man, because it's hard to explain. I always feel like it's hard to explain what Summer League's like because it's so strange.
Yeah, you used the term sensory overload yesterday. That's a good one. It's my first time. There's so many people, not just the players, but if you're a nerd for this stuff like we are, the media members, the blog boys, it's a little overwhelming at first. It's like the nerdiest sleepaway camp ever is basically.
The stereotype about bloggers being nerds is like more true than people think. Like it's definitely...
That's my biggest impression of Summer League. And I say this, I mean, I'm speaking of myself as well, obviously, but all these people that I've met, you put faces to these Twitter handles and you go, okay, actually twice as nerdy as I thought.
This is definitely the case. But there's so many people here too. It's just fun. I love this atmosphere. Games going on. It is a circus. Sensory overload. And just wait till they have Noches Fiestas, which is probably tonight or tomorrow. They bring in like a mariachi band for some reason. It really gets bizarre. I had a good time, or having a good time so far. Nuggets had an interesting game. I'm kind of in on this Summer League team.
I think there's a lot of talent on this Summer League team. I don't know. The odds are, what are the odds on them winning the whole thing?
1,000 to 1.
I mean, there's not a ton of talent on it, but there are some guys worth keeping an eye on.
They're just interesting.
That are interesting is the right word. Interesting pieces. We'll talk about some of them today, but.
Yeah. The Nuggets game was good. They open with Minnesota, who features two first-round draft picks in Josh Okogie and Kata Bates-Diop. Real quickly on them. Very unimpressed with both of those guys.
Agreed. We're both pretty high on Okogie, and you know he's such a transcendent athlete, but we didn't get to see it. You mentioned a couple of times where he had a clear lane to the hoop, and you'd think a guy like him would just yam it down.
Yeah.
And he was a little tentative going up.
He is super athletic. Malik Beasley had a great contest to him. He turned it into an offensive foul. Both of those guys are like 40-inch jumpers.
And they collided.
And they collided in the air. Yeah. It was pretty. So, here's another thing for you, and I tell people this all the time. If you're a diehard Nuggets fan or just a diehard NBA fan, once in your life, whether it's Summer League, whatever, you have to sit courtside.
100%.
Because the game is so different and you really get a – it's just when you watch on TV and when you watch from the, you know, even the upper lower bowl of Pepsi Center or something like that, it just – something's lost in translation.
It doesn't do it justice, does it?
It's like – it's incredible how fast and strong and physical the game is.
And this may sound dumb and obvious, but just how big they are. Like, you don't get a sense of that on TV. It's, you know, that they're tall, but for them to move the way they do at their height, you're right. It's a lot faster. It's a lot more violent than you'd think.
And speaking of giant and physical and big, let's start with Monte Morris.
Yeah, giant. Apt.
No, because we want to go through, in this episode, I want to go through all of the players on the roster and just kind of give a quick breakdown of that first game. Probably do another episode after the second game to kind of give a full scope. But I wanted to talk about this first game because I thought there was a lot of really great stuff in it. It was a noteworthy game that I feel like we'll have fun discussing. But Monte Morris, to me, first of all, is he the story of Summer League for you? Is he the most interesting person?
Well, he has as much pressure on him as anyone on the Nuggets roster, right? He's trying to get a full-time roster spot. And in the wake of the Tony Parker news, I don't know how serious the Nuggets were about that, but we know they made an offer. It's certainly looking like this is Monte's audition for the big show, right?
So in that light, how do you think his audition went?
He was great. He was great. He got to the cup a lot more regularly than I expected for such a tiny dude. He found his shot. He found his offense.
That was one of my big question marks, by the way, for him, was can he get to the rim?
Agreed. And I think we know why he was drafted, right? The assist to turnover ratio. He's that traditional point guard. he's not ever going to be a defensive stopper, so he has to be able to score enough to justify keeping that skill set on the floor. And I thought we saw a healthy dose of both his scoring and his passing last night.
He had a team-high 15 field goal attempts, which really surprised me.
Yeah, that really surprised me as well. Malik was looking to feed him in scoring opportunities, which is sort of like the opposite of what we expected to see a lot of. But yeah, he was in aggressive mode all night.
So one quick note that I think is probably lost on from watching at television as opposed to watching it like right up close is there was a lot of energy from the Nuggets. And you could tell they were like, because the gym was dead. There was not that many people there. There's a lot of more Nuggets fans than Wolves fans.
For sure. They were rowdy, a little drunk.
But there was only maybe less than 1,000 people in the gym, right? So it's a pretty strange environment for a game. But the Nuggets bench brought the energy. And you could tell that was like, they wanted to bring the energy.
You have spent the summer league practices asking some players what they think of Jordy Fernandez's coaching style, and he was,
glad you brought this up.
Multiple players, Malik Beasley's the one that I remember specifically, were quick to point out that he wants to have fun. Some players have used the term fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was actually the more fun, because we weren't comparing him to anything, but he was, wasn't he?
And I think we all know what that means. What's the alternative there to Jordy Fernandez? But
more fun and more freedom.
More freedom. And we saw that on the bench, but it was reflected on the court as well. Like, I think it's clear one of their team goals was have fun, right? Yeah. Some of you guys will never get – he can't say it this way, but we'll never get any closer than this, right? Like, this is your opportunity to just have fun and play high-level hoops. Yeah. And, yeah.
Yeah, so the bench, the energy was great.
Bless you.
Thank you. The energy was great, but I thought Monte in particular, the reason I brought that up was I thought Monte in particular, if you're a point guard, you have to be vocal. I think a point guard and a center are the two positions that you have to be the most vocal. And he was really vocal, I thought. And one of the things I was looking for was how much does he have command of the game and just command of the team? And I thought he did a really, really good job of that. Especially after the first minute.
Absolutely. And look, if he's supposed to be a full-time roster spot guy, you'd expect him to be in control in summer league at this point, but he certainly was. And there's some guys where, look, this is high-level basketball. I know it's not NBA, but you can see, like, there are some guys, they can't handle the pace. Some guys on the Nuggets roster who we'll talk about. Monte, it never looked like it was affecting him in that way. The game was moving slowly for him. He made some mistakes in the beginning. A couple of errant passes, missed the shooting pocket a couple of times. But for the most part, it looked like the game was coming slowly to him, and he was in control.
Yeah. I was impressed with him. He did finish as a -7. I think the pluses and the minuses. There was a big run. And there was two big runs, a big one run in favor of Denver and a big run in favor of Minnesota. And I don't, maybe it had to do with the talent that was on the roster, but it didn't feel like it was consistently this group was great, this group was bad.
Don't you feel like in summer league too, that stat's kind of useless? Like, I'm looking at how these players are playing almost in a vacuum. I mean, I know how they play in relation to each other is important, but. Yeah.
So after one game, I know we're probably going to ask this after every game, but how confident do you feel in Monte as a backup point guard after game one game?
I don't know how confident I am. I know that I think it's time to try it. That's where I'm at with it.
Okay. And he'll have some good challenges coming up. I think even against Boston tonight, he'll there will continue to be a lot of guards that test him in different ways. So I'm curious to see how.
Well, let me ask you this. Like, what are the external options at this point? Bringing Devin Harris back?
No, I don't know if there's a good one.
Yeah.
There's some swing for the fence things like Marcus Smart. If somehow Denver was able to unload a ton of salaries, but yeah, to me, Devin Harris is not a long term answer. So then, is it valuable to have him as a short term answer? And for me, I just don't know that he's good enough. He's not really a point guard, is the other thing.
He's an off ball guard at this point in his career. So if you're going to draft a point guard like Monte Morris to fill that role, and you're sitting here going, "Who's our backup point guard?" Well, you try him. Try the draft pick that you drafted to fill that specific role.
Yeah. I'm curious on Monte. I'm still intrigued. Like, I don't know. It's going to be hard for him to definitively say, okay, we're 100% in on this guy, but he can definitely ruin it. You can definitely say, okay, he's not ready through this summer league, and he didn't do that.
Like, yeah.
His hat's still in the ring, still feel like, okay, I like what I saw.
And one game. We're being summer league champs here. This is a little – but he looked comfortable is the key word for me.
A four-syllable comfortable.
Yeah, well, listen, proper articulation on the Locked On.
Let's talk about Malik, because he's the other big storyline for Denver. I'll just let you go first. What is your first initial impression of the game Malik Beasley had?
So I'll start by slapping a letter grade on it.
Okay.
Give it like a C plus, if that.
Okay.
Malik is a guy who the expectation should be high. This is, you're looking at him to fill the backup shooting guard position role. He's an NBA player in theory. He did not look like one against summer league competition. And I think Adam Malik's just plays, man. And yeah. He's an athlete. He's a baller. He's a gamer.
He's an attacker. He throws his body in the chaos.
Yeah, dude. And that's why he's fun. And that's why I think the fans appreciate him. But at the end of the day, you know, that's not NBA competition. And he's not out thinking them. And in many cases, he wasn't even out jumping them. I mean, he
was out jumping them. Like, he's super springy and super athletic, but...
But he should be able, like, at that level, like, Malik's out there to get 20 points a game at this point in Summer League. And what did he finish with? Well, he was 3-for-10 with
he
10
got
points.
To the line a lot,
yeah.
Right? How many points did he have?
10 points.
Yeah.
And that's just not good enough, in my opinion. And 5 turnovers.
And if you think about 3-for-10, I think he hit his first two, because he started off hot, had two for two, and then he had a dunk, like, off of a scrambled play late in the game. Those were his plays. So if you think about it, he went most of the game without actually having an impactful offensive moment.
Yeah, he was I agree. After that hot start, he was not great. And I think he's a guy, Adam, do you think he tries too hard sometimes? Like, he gets really hyped up with this summer league stuff. He was telling the media all week,
"This
is who I am. This is what I do." You think he's a little too excited?
There was a moment in the first quarter, first half of the game where he'd made a nice play and then started strutting
feeling
and
himself
stuff. And
a
it
little.
Was a little bit like, man, because to me, I look at Malik Beasley and think, and I'm probably, it's easy for me to say as an analyst, this is the biggest, like, I think mistake analysts make, and I'm about to make it is, you know, I feel like this is my, I'm going to make it a conclusion on Malik. I've seen a lot of him. We've seen 3 years of him between G League and Summer League and this, and he just is the same. He's a more explosive version, but the same version of himself, I feel. He attacks.
That's well said.
Yeah, he attacks. Like, he looks more athletic and maybe even more confident to start the game, but he still does the same stuff that I just don't – I don't know. I'm not seeing the stuff I wanted to see from him.
I agree, and I think back to exit interviews when we asked him, what are you going to do? And he said, work on your body. And I couldn't help but think that's like maybe one of the last things he needs to work.
Yeah,
he looks great.
He has a great body.
He looks great. He looks even better.
He does look stronger, though. I mean, he does look...
Certainly.
Yeah, he looks like he can handle NBA
100%. But to your point, that's not the stuff you would have hoped he'd worked on this summer. Right. It doesn't look like he worked on the other stuff.
And defensively, you know, I'd love to see him go out there. If you look at what the Nuggets need, I mean, if he's just looking to break into a roster spot on the Nuggets, if he could go out there and be a Torrey Craig type hustler, I think that'd be great. But I just don't see it. I see him more as an attacking. I mean, he attacks like 1-on-3 on fast breaks.
I know.
A lot. Like,
I know. I am higher on him defensively than you are.
Yeah.
I think he's. You know, I think it's really hard to guard backcourt players at this point in the NBA without fouling, and he's phenomenal at keeping his hands up, moving his body. He's a gamer. Like, he's not afraid of any challenge. But
he brings energy too. Like,
100%.
He's definitely an energy guy. 100%. Denver could use that.
But much like the offense, like, okay, the mental discipline stuff, the intelligent stuff, I think it's fair to question it.
Yeah. So it's only game. Again, with Malik, though, I would be – I'm with you. It would be a C grade for me. I mean, C seems average. And, again, we're grading on a curve, so maybe I would go D plus because for
relative
me,
to expectations.
He needs to be better than what he was in game one over the next couple games.
He should have been the best player on the floor.
And that's the thing. A third-year player with actual NBA experience – versus half these guys that'll never step on a court, and most of them who never have before, he really should stand out more than he did in positive ways. What about Tyler Lydon?
Speaking of should have stood out a little more, Tyler Lydon finished 2-for-3, emphasis on the three.
2-for-3?
Three. This is a first-round draft pick. Guy with, whether it's his fault or not, like somewhat high expectations after the Donovan Mitchell trade. And you just got to go in there if you're Tyler Lydon and make your presence known, right?
I don't think you can analyze a game I don't think you analyze a game very well when you only watch it once. This is why every time I record a post-game show during the season, I always watch a game a second time because I feel like I understand it 10 times better.
Right.
I only watched this game once. Tyler Lydon was 2-for-3, and what I noticed from him was that I didn't notice him most of the time. I'd be like, oh, there's Tyler Lydon. I forgot he was on the court.
Yeah, we mentioned that to each other a couple of times.
But let me throw this out to you. He had 7 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a +16.
+16.
And really bizarre. I would never have guessed he was a +16 after watching the game.
And we were probably about as low as him on anyone coming out of it.
Right.
And one of the, we'll get to it, but one of the players we were higher on had the worst +minus on the, so maybe that stat is, maybe we're bad at our jobs, Adam.
Yeah,
but
maybe we are, actually.
I noticed the 7 rebounds from Lydon. That I noticed.
Yeah, for sure.
He's he's such a good shooter that I think he gets sort of pigeonholed into that spot up. But he brings a lot more athleticism than that.
Yeah, he does. And three assists, one steal. He challenged a shot at the rim that I thought was really, really good. Made the guy, forced the guy into a miss that was I thought was an easy make.
Yeah,
so
his defense was not bad, man.
Yeah.
And he made a couple of really nice reads on those assists, I thought. But
he needs to – he's a guy that really stays in his lane offensively, and see, maybe that's a good thing. Like, I don't know, but
On the NBA team, yes. But at Summer League, I think you need to see
a player. Does a player like him need to step outside of his comfort zone in Summer League? I mean, what's the value of that?
Well, the value is you have no value as a player or an asset right now because you missed your rookie season and you got to impress people.
But what I'm saying is, if we're judging him because he's not a louder player, when really all he needs to be for the Nuggets is a quiet producer.
Right.
Maybe I'm joking. Again, my impression, if you're asking me what I saw of Lydon, was a bad game and a disappearing act. But I'm just wondering why, looking at some of the numbers and some of the stuff he did and thinking, maybe he was I need to pay closer attention to him this next game.
No, that's a good point. He's an interesting rewatch, as you put it earlier. It's not – like, I don't want to see him taking 20 shots a game, but I just think three shots is too few in a summer league where there was some pressure on him to perform. Yeah. And I think you just – it says a little bit about him, I think, in terms of his mental makeup, that he didn't want to assert himself a little more.
Yeah, yeah. An interesting one for him. He kind of has a limp. I didn't think he looked like he's run his... He looks like a guy coming off of a knee injury.
I have my first real theory. Like, just not a take, just a theory. I think it's in his head. When we talked about him the week before, and he sort of backtracked on this quote. He said, "I'm 100% confident in the knee." And then he stopped. He said, "Physically, sometimes mentally, I still have to convince myself." And that's what I thought I saw out of him. Like he was second guessing those cuts. He looked ginger, but Adam, I just don't think that even the Nuggets would force him out there if he wasn't healthy. I mean, what's the point?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I'm with you there. But it's just noticeable that he was not running very smoothly.
Certainly.
And
just jogging back slowly to the, like, it was janky. Like, yeah. The gait wasn't healthy.
I mean, it was like dragging his left leg.
Yeah,
it's something to keep an eye on. But he's a guy I'll probably have my eye. I'm always going to be paying closest attention to Monte. Lydon will probably be the guy I'm paying the next closest attention to, just because, I mean, it's big for him. And I really want to see if some of this, if he's doing some of these things off ball and
right.
that are productive to the team. They might be.
If you can shoot like he can and you're sized like that and you're willing to fight for rebounds, there's a place for him in the NBA.
Right.
You just want to know if like, I really think he, what a tough spot to be in, a trade you have no control over. Like, the circumstances surrounding your arrival dictate the collective evaluation of you as a player.
Right.
It has nothing to do with his game. It's all about Mitchell. Then he gets hurt. And, like, you know, he has to know. He's more of a joke than an asset to Nuggets fans. And
right.
so that's a tough spot, I think, for a young guy. He has a lot to prove.
He does have a lot to prove. Thomas Welsh. Quick hitter here, because there's not a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah,
him.
And I think that that's going to be the case in this summer league, because he's not going to be asked to do a whole lot, right?
Yeah.
To me, I wanted to see him be an active rebounder. He was active in boxing guys out.
That might be his role, though.
Right, right. Only three rebounds.
The excellent box out guy. I wonder.
Right.
What, yeah.
But I think, I agree. I mean, so that's because we know he can shoot a little bit. The shot didn't look great last night, but he has that touch.
He knocked down one. The bench went wild for it.
He did have an air ball from like 16 feet.
That is true.
Yeah.
Which is really for mid-range. I mean,
that's like
his
bread and butter. But yeah, I want to see him. I think it was Jeff Morton asked him at his introductory press conference, "What do you think you need to do to increase your value as an NBA player?" And I think everyone was thinking the three-point shot. And Welsh was—he's like, "It's rebounding. If you look at my numbers, I got better every year." And so I think he sees that like that's how he can keep himself on the NBA roster.
Him and Emmanuel Terry are an interesting starting front court, because Thomas Welsh is a box out guy and Terry's just like fly around, grab the board. I mean, he's like a super athlete.
Yeah.
So, you know, Welsh to me, 18 minutes, he was also a guy that disappeared a little bit. But I'll say this about him. In the first half, the Nuggets defended away from where we were seated. In the second half, he were defending close. And man, was he loud.
I agree.
He was just nonstop talking to everybody on the court and calling out coverages. And he has a big booming voice. Like
he does.
He could really.
And, you know, athletically, he's a little limited. He's a pretty slow dude. But I wonder, you know, just wondering about him defensively. From what we saw last night, he seemed clued in. He seemed intelligent and vocal. You need your center to be.
Yeah.
And it's not something Jokic is.
Honestly, like, just it'll be funny to see Camp and see, well, like, screaming like that. Because
I know.
It was really loud, man.
Yeah.
He was really, really loud calling it out. But But yeah, for other, I don't really have any other Thomas Welsh notes. I mean,
it's hard to. We need another game.
He didn't pass as well as I kind of hoped. Like, he missed a couple passes.
He did miss a couple.
Missed a couple open guys, and then he had a couple like just off the mark passes.
I think he was trying too hard to stay within himself.
Maybe.
If that
it's
makes
an
sense.
Take.
Because he has such like that safe window. Like, yeah. He's going to get the two-way. If you just don't be egregious, you'll get a little bit of run.
Yeah.
So I wonder if he's just a little hesitant to.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll play more. You think he'll play more than 18 minutes tonight?
I wonder, because aren't they trying to get Peter going?
To get him going?
Well, I mean, playing, like, in the rotation.
Maybe. I don't. I mean, come on. I don't know. I've seen enough of
I'm literally asking you. Yeah. That's just what they were saying.
Jody Meeks wasn't good. I would guess he might be the guy that's cut out of the rotation. We'll find out.
Gravitationally challenged.
My favorite player of the day, of the game, Kenrich Williams. He didn't play a lot of minutes either. But how many minutes did he get?
I was surprised
16? By that. I thought he would have played 16. A lot more. 18, I say.
16.
Is that an 8 or 6?
It's
That's
a
6,
That's
dude.
That's
an 8.
What are you talking about?
I'm looking at the wrong guy.
You're old, man. Yeah.
What jumped out to you about him? Well, first of all, did you enjoy his game?
Yeah, obviously. It was like every time we looked up, he was in the right spot. And at one point you said, you know, I wonder if that's just like, okay, is he getting lucky? Was that because he did the right thing? I think when you're as active a player as he is, one way or another, they just fall to you. And I think he's that type of player.
You have to kind of watch him live because he does so much stuff that's not where the camera's focused. And he just like breaks to the ball at the right time every time, whether it's for a steal, whether it's for a cut, or whether it's for a rebound. He just seems to always know, like, boom, it's time to go.
100%. And he's there's conviction. I think in his decisions, which I really like,
because you know he knows what he's supposed to be doing.
Yes, and 8 rebounds, 3 offensive rebounds in just 16 minutes.
And they were some great rebounds.
Yes, yeah, no, I think
they were like 8 rebounds that fell into his lap. Man, he just had some great plays.
Day one summer league takes, just give him the 2-way. I'm in.
Yeah, I like this guy a lot. I want to see more of him. Jordy singled him out as the guy defensively he thought was most impressive. There was one play he got matched up. One of the things for Kenrich is, he's tall, but he's not really big, and he's long, but he's not that long.
Right.
I think
he's a tweener.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a tweener, and there was somebody posted him up at some point, and he didn't really he played great defense all game, and somebody posted him up and just made him look tiny. And I thought, yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah, so what makes him a great defender from a little I've seen is just the activity, right? He recovers. He's really good at, like, the Millsap, like, I'm going to clog this passing lane, and then I'm back to my dude. Yep. Yeah, I know exactly where he is.
Man, that's great.
Dude, this is what two-way contracts are for. Like, NBA talent, bad knees, give him the two-way.
Yeah.
Like, and clear – if your decisions to make about Craig, Monte, clear up some roster spots. Figure that out. But I –
can you imagine the Nuggets going with Michael Porter Jr., Vanderbilt, and Kenrich? All three guys that are, like, they're all injured. They might never play.
You know, we've sort of waffled back and forth on this draft, the two of us, many times.
So many times.
I'm going to just put my foot down and stick with this take. The fans wanted this front office to just be aggressive, and passivity has been the criticism as far as I can tell over the last decade. And look, this is the home run draft, man. They might miss on all three, but if they hit on all three, it's exactly what they need.
Yeah.
And I think they get credit for at least rolling the dice in that way.
You hear a lot of takes about different players and people and stuff while you're out here, and so it's interesting hearing people's Michael Porter Jr. takes.
It's very vague and ominous of you. Yeah. Yes. Agreed.
Well, you hear things both ways. I mean, I think 100%. A lot of people have been very complimentary of his upside.
You know what else I'm learning? A lot of people hear a lot of different things.
A lot
really,
of people, oh, that's definitely
you
got to
take it all with some salt, man.
Yeah, you're definitely 100% true. All right, let's go to the other play. I think there was 3 players of the game. I think Monte Morris. I think Kenrich Williams is like a second tier player of the game. But then my guy, the actual player of the game.
Let's get it right, though.
Chanchar.
There we go.
Vladko Chanchar.
Chanchar. Just before we start fawning over him, you brought up the rewatch thing with Leiden.
Yeah.
We walked out of the gym like, man, Vladko, we're in. And then looking back at the box score, 4 for 9, 44% from the field, like only 4 rebounds.
Yeah.
But yeah, like he doesn't look that.
3 steals, 1 block. He kind of got a little bit of everything.
He was really active. I think that's
the
thing.
Yep. Active hands. He was another guy that just seemed to kind of know where he was supposed
to be. It's the instincts.
And the other thing is, he was the opposite of Leiden. Where Leiden, you were like, oh, yeah, I forgot he was on the court. You kind of always felt Vlatko. Like, he was always involved with everything.
Every time you looked up, it was either Kenrich or Vlatko doing something.
Yeah.
And I think he moves well. This is the first time, obviously, I've seen him up close like that, moving. And first of all, huge legs. You know I'm the calf dude. Those things are some tree trunks. But he's really thick. Thick. He's a thick 6'8", 6'9", type, bro. But he's nimble, man. For someone, and he had a really nice finishing transition where he went up and yammed it, and I was like, man, this guy can play. But
I like him. I was very impressed with, pleasantly surprised with him. He's tall. You know, when they go to free throws and Leiden's on the court, he gets the inside track, which is not, I guess that shouldn't be too surprising, but he just, it's no surprise because he was so much bigger.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like, I always thought of those guys as like kind of the same size, but no, Vlatko was significantly stronger
he's a
guy.
Lot thicker.
Yeah, a lot stronger.
Leiden's lower body is pretty lacking.
After watching Radicevic last year, who just wasn't athletic enough for summer league, like that was the big knock. And then Vlatko not really having a ton of name recognition. I thought, okay, this guy's not an NBA player. He talked about in practice about how he was worried about the physicality and athleticism. He really shined in this one. So.
Yeah, it seemed like he thrived in that regard specifically.
All right, what level is the hype meter for Chanchar? Where are you at?
After day one, hype meter?
10 is like, we got to get him on the roster.
Yeah.
Zero is like, the guy will never play a game in the NBA. Where are you at?
Check back with me in 24 hours.
Oh, we're going to change. It's going to go up and down.
I'm on a 7.
A 7?
I'm on a 7.
All right, that's like, you know, maybe a two-way. You know, maybe like, okay. He's 21. He just looks like an NBA player. And you know, you guys listen to the show, you know my take. I like smart guys. I just like guys that know what they're supposed to do, know how to play the game of basketball. He's a guy across me is like, he gets it. He just 100%. Knows basketball.
He sees it well. And he's not – I mean, some players, the way they're interested in making an impact on the game is within the confines of that. Like, I understand what's happening, and I want to fit in.
Yeah.
And I just like players like that. And look at Summer League. We're not looking for the next, like, healthy Michael Porter Jr. We're looking for guys who can do just that.
Yeah. You know, though, it was interesting talking to Monte after the game – somebody asked him about Chanchar and said, hey, what do you think of him? What are your impressions? And he kind of lit up and he's like, man, I like that dude. He said, we played pickup at Pepsi Center a couple months ago. The first time I met him, he came into Pepsi Center for some workouts and he goes, I asked coach, who is that guy? I like his game or something like that. So it's like he's earned the respect of his teammates.
But also wild that he truly is that unknown of an entity. Like, like the actual teammates... Like Monte's on the team.
True.
He doesn't know
Think
who he
about
is.
That.
Yeah. And we've made
that's
a lot
wild.
Of Vlatko jokes on our Denver Stis, but like how much Chanchar did you watch?
Not that much. Yeah,
I mean,
very little.
Yeah. So he's a sweetheart too.
Yeah,
nice
he's
guy.
A good dude. I really like. I mean, he's become a it is always interesting. You're right though. You bring up a good point. You wonder like sometimes how much we follow the NBA and the games and stuff like that. Like, do we watch more film than an NBA player? Probably than Kenneth Fareed. We probably watch more film.
I'll put money. We're in Vegas. What are the odds on that, man? Yeah. I know you are. You just told me you rewatched the games.
Right. Yeah, every single one. But no, it is funny to think Monte didn't know who Chanchar was until he was out there
just
giving buckets.
You've both been on the team for a couple years. It's not like a brand new.
He also doesn't look like an NBA player.
Vlatko?
Yeah.
Just like.
If you looked at him. He had a picture of it, like a 100%. Photograph.
He's
a passport photo.
He's big, but he just looks like a dude.
Yeah. He just looks like a dude. Let's wrap up with what else? What else from Summer League? I mean, Trey Lyles was there. Jamal Murray.
That was
Michael
cool. Will
Porter
Barton
Jr.
in the building.
Will Barton, thrill.
Shout out, though.
Got to congratulate him on his new contract. He seemed very happy.
Yeah. I'm thinking Will had a good night last night.
I think
night.
He did. Yeah. I think he had a really good night. But it was cool to see that crew all there for the game. Torrey Craig also. So there was, what, five regular roster Nuggets there to watch.
I think there actually is something to like what Denver's trying to build organically, the way people have bought in, the way they're trying to reward guys. I don't know if it'll pay off like in a big free agent meeting one day or anything like that, but I think these guys care and like they like each other. They may not be the best of friends. I don't know.
Right, right.
There's not a lot of dynamic personalities outside of Barton, but they support each other.
Yeah.
And that's real.
I could see the crew that was there. You
Harris
know, like,
and Murray
like
are around.
Harris, Murray, Lyles, Torrey Craig, Barton, like those guys.
Look, Murray could be could have been in Canada for a lot more of the summer than he was. Like he was around, and
true.
He, you know, and
he looked like he's been putting some muscle
good.
On his shoulder. Like
he
his shoulders
good.
Look pretty big.
Man, I'm really excited to see. That's neither here nor there, but I'm really excited to watch Jamal next.
No,
season.
There's no form or no rhyme or reason. You can talk about what you want. No, I'm excited to see him as well. But it was cool to see the Nuggets all there, and You mentioned that the Nuggets, you know, going this different direction. We know the Tim Connelly quote about more steadfast in our approach ever, develop, and build loyalty and togetherness. I don't know. I wonder if that is a new approach, meaning after they struck out with LeBron. And like, I just wonder at what point they decided, you know what? Because they've, for three straight off seasons now, have chased big names.
I was just going to say.
Wade, Kevin Love.
I was just going to say.
So I wonder if this is new and if they actually mean it. Like, because I actually feel that way. I feel like, why go F and pursue these guys? I like the roster that you got. There's probably no one move that gets you over the hump. So why not? And I wonder also if you can do everything at once, or if you have to kind of commit. Because can you be like, we're going to be flexible, blah, blah, blah.
I think it's... Man, like, the process worked, right? And that was the most directed such process. But I think it can potentially be a mistake to just decide ahead of time. Like, there's one way to do it. Like, when you're in the Nuggets position, whatever path to success reveals itself, you take it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you don't really have the luxury of being
But
like,
here's the question I'm kind of getting at is, does it help you become a draft and develop team if you're so openly committed to it and focused on that? Meaning, do players... buy in more, being like, you know what,
I don't think it's about anything the front office has done. I think it's the one thing Malone really should get credit for, in my opinion. And there's a lot to question about the tactical stuff, but the young dudes play hard for him.
Oh yeah,
and that culture exists. A lot of it is that the young dudes are Jamal Murray and Gary Harris.
Play hard for
and they just work.
And they
hard.
Have pride. They take
yeah,
pride.
They take pride in. Yeah. But I think like. Yeah, I don't think it's like, we have confidence. I mean, Gary Harris, they tried to trade him like three times. It's not.
Yeah. Tell you what, the Nuggets, it's funny, man, being out here because part of what's cool about Summer League is it really is your online basketball experience in real life, including all the social media people are here. But also, the Thomas and Mack Arena is a real arena. The Cox Pavilion is not. And Denver being always in the Cox Pavilion.
It's so Nug life.
At the end of the night when everybody had gone home, it's like... It's honestly like watching a Nuggets game in an empty gym.
Can I say something, though? It's probably frustrating for you guys as lifers. I love it.
I do, too.
It's like it's our own little corner and slice. And you know what? We had an awesome view of that Nuggets game. And, like, if most people don't want to watch and don't care, fine. But, like, I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's also funny because, you know, every team has represented by maybe three or four writers out here. And there's, like, a good 10 Nuggets writers out here.
Why are there
hilarious.
So many Nuggets people?
I don't know, man. But it was a good time. Well, thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back again. I want to talk about game two. I enjoy these games. I'll be honest. I enjoyed yesterday so much.
Loved
the game
it.
Part of it.
Loved
like,
it.
I was just like, oh, this is fun.
I think
miss basketball.
The first games I wasn't really watching. I was hanging. But when the Nuggets game started, I was like, I loved it. I remember how much I love hoops.
Yeah, it was fun. Thanks so much, guys. We'll be back again here with some more episodes.